solar. So that is something to consider with this. And the purpose of the proposal is to reduce the probability of utility-related wildfires and to mitigate damage to electric facilities because of wildfire. So our general plan, there's a couple of ways to look at our general plan with this type of an item. One is we are very interested in view sheds and aesthetics. And so that's something to consider with this. We do have the, if we're gonna have steel poles, at least from my experience, it seems like this type of rust color is the one that really matches our environment the most. Another thing that our general plan promotes is safety of our residents, and this project is very safety related. We have had wildfires on our mountain here to the west a couple times in my lifetime, and they've been pretty dramatic. We've had loss of life because of the wildfires on this hill over here. Mm-hmm. And so this is something that's a safety priority for us. So. And so that's the end of my presentation. I can take some questions, but Rocky Mountain Power, Travis has a presentation that he'd like to give. And so we could either take questions now or after they give their presentation.
Why don't we go ahead and have the presentation and see what questions or answers come out of that?
Did you guys go through this slide deck?
Yes.
I did show them the slides.
It's similar content, I guess.
It's the why. Yeah. So I think we understand that. Any questions about the reasons for doing this?
I have one question. Another question. Where does it cross Swiss Oaks and Lime Canyon specifically? Is it on that par 5 hole at the bottom?
Yeah.
I'm blind. I can't see that.
Yeah. I should have done a closer view of this.
Does it go right through?
So do you know where Carl Dodge's home is?
Yeah.
It goes really close to Carl's house.
Go more north. That's okay.
And then it crosses over the Hill property
just
to the east of Sunburst.
Got it.
Goes right through the middle of the Lundeen Farm.
I remember that.
And then it goes up the hill and right through the center of Swiss Oaks.
Okay.
There's buildings really
right
close.
Right by the clubhouse and the other houses, and then it goes down onto one of those lots that Brett Walker.
So on Brett Walker.
So it goes, his son's.
Exactly.
Joe Ballstead owns the lot where the line crosses now.
And then it hits the golf course and then it goes north.
Yeah, crosses the golf course. And
thank
then
you.
Really close to the Blue Orient, just a little bit where it heads into the golf course.
Okay, thank you.
And I think, Michael, last time you said that Rocky Mountain Power does not have a franchise agreement with Midway.
I'm not aware of a franchise agreement with Rocky Mountain Power.
Do you have one with Wasatch County?
Yeah, we do. I'm pretty sure we have. I need to check, but I'm pretty sure we have. I know we do with Wasatch. I had to pull it up.
I've never heard of one. Usually franchise agreements are, it's how utility companies can use our right-of-ways within, because a lot of times you utility companies like Comcast or Xfinity, they'll use our right-of-ways. And so it really handles that type of issue. This doesn't really fall within our right-of-ways. It's crossing private property for the most part. And so it's kind of maybe that might be a reason why I'm not aware of a franchise agreement, because we don't have a lot of Rocky Mountain Power lines in our right-of-way. Usually it's Heber Light and Power that has lines in our right-of-way.
Right.
So in the process of replacing the poles and they damage something, what's the recourse?
And so if it's on private property, it's really a civil matter between the property owner and the utility company. So that would need to be worked out between those two parties. If they damaged public property, then it would be the city, most likely.
I have a question about the poles. So down on Southfield Road, they have the rust-colored poles that you're talking about, but there's also a different pole that's much bigger in diameter and is kind of gray-colored. Do you need to use any of those for this line? It's just the rust-colored ones.
Okay. Yeah, it's just the rust. It's basically diameter-wise, it's negligible amount of difference, the height, but it's going to be pole for pole underneath supplemental poles.
So I thought there was mention of some fiberglass poles. Where are those, and what do those look like?
Right, just north by the campground. It's couple of like 100 feet south of the campground after the disc golf course over there on the golf course.
That's where one of those very large poles will be? No. Oh, the fiber, okay.
So these poles are mostly tangent. There is a small, there's a couple of spots where there's a slight change in direction, but those don't require a bigger pole then.
No, the way those were designed is they still have the down guys to keep them small.
Oh.
So it'll be guy wires.
Yes, they'll still be the guy wires that are there existing back in those same directions, but we did that to keep the poles smaller. Where you see the really, really big poles is where we couldn't put the guy wires to help hold the angle.
Yeah.
And so they have to be self-supporting, so they get really, really big. And that's where you see those, is there's no place for the guy wires.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what a guy wire is.
So
but
it's
yeah.
the wires.
Yeah. So it's if you go by one like this one up here that you see the slight angle, there's thin gray wire that comes off the pole that comes off at an angle.
Okay.
Close to the ground.
Got it. Okay. That's a guy.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
So what do the fiberglass poles look like, and why are they necessary?
So the fiberglass, they're going to be a little bit bigger than the steel.
Diameter and height, or
height-wise, they're going to be very similar.
Okay.
They're going to be a little bit bigger in diameter. They're round. They're perfectly round and smooth. So the steel poles that you see in the picture, they've got faces,
mm-hmm.
so they're a 12-sided polygon essentially.
Right. Right.
The fiberglass, it's perfectly round. We use the fiberglass, again, it's for bird protection. So each switch, each phase, each wire has its own switch, and each of those with the fiberglass is isolated. So it's not connected to any of the other phases, and it's isolated for bird protection. So we use the fiberglass because it's a non-conductive material, where steel is a conductive material.
And why do you just need a couple of them, it sounds like? And
yes.
what creates the need for those?
So it's for transmission line switching. So they're right on either side of a tap into a substation.
Oh.
That feeds, it's a distribution substation that feeds some of the local area. So if we needed to isolate a section of the line to do work, we would open up that switch and basically stop the line at that point.
Okay.
So you've got one on each side of that, so you can isolate and do work inside of that substation as needed, but keep residents and places in power with the other side of the line.
And how much bigger are they, diameter-wise?
The fiberglass are, so the steel, anywhere from about 18 inches. The fiberglass are going to be closer to 30 to 36 inches at the base. They're just bigger. Those switches are about 3,000 pounds that are literally just hanging on one side of the pole, so they have to be a little bit bigger and heftier so the pole doesn't fall over.
It sounds like they're in a location where they're not going to be seen much.
They're probably not going to be very visible unless you are driving up that way and going that way.
It's a substation.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
So just out of curiosity, I have projects in Midway, and then my house is Heber Light and Power. So where in Midway is who is served by Rocky Mountain Power? Just out of curiosity.
So there's a few residential customers, not very many. It's very low. But what we are the transmission provider that provides the transmission to Heber Light and Power, who then turns around and feeds you through their distribution system.
Mm.
So we are one of the providers of Heber Light and Power's power to feed you. So that's
understood.
What this line is used for, is we're the transmission provider. The interconnection is at Midway Substation. They take power from us and then turn around and give it to all of you.
Uh-huh. You should be sitting in the front row.
Yeah.
Go back.
Small community in St. Creek area, too. Just go past the park there. It's distributed.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it sounds like the court and steel is preferred, but I don't know what the other options are. Are there other color options?
So
or
the other option is what we call a galvanized.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
So I know we've talked about it, but the Midway substation, so all of the structures inside that fence are that galvanized color. So they're that gray kind of shiny color.
Yeah, okay.
Over time, it does dull and it's less shiny, but it takes several years to get it to that point. So that's the other color
yeah.
of steel.
And
It seems like the court, the rust color would be more or less noticeable, right? Right up there.
Yeah, unless it's camouflage.
Is there, just curious, is there any, in the world of power transmission lines, is there anything, and I know it's very different with electricity, but just out of curiosity, anything in the world of like these cell towers where they make them look like trees or trying to make them look like anything other than an ugly tower?
Are you going to be using any herbicides to kill the undergrowth under the lines?
Yeah, we use a pretty progressive vegetation management system. We don't use herbicides or kill. We use low toxic seed-based oil products that actually cause cellular disruption. So you're not getting that long-term efficacy in the soil of that toxic chemical. Mm-hmm. So most of the stuff we use is less toxic than caffeine, nicotine. We use pollen-based oils. Products we use are real mild comparatively to most people are using out there. And really, I guess I'm glad we're on that one. We're not out, you know, the old mindset was this clear cut right away, clean the earth up, keep the trees back. We really use selective clearing now. So we use herbicides even that are targeting, whether that's low volume or even just cut stump treatment. We're not out spraying the whole right away to try and get everything out. It's real selective now. Luckily, this right away has been managed and pretty robustly by our tree crews. So there's not going to be a lot of clearing that's needed because these poles aren't going to be taller as well. And we've done a pretty good job already of the ground clearance and maintenance through there.
So what about the, do you have to cut in roads to install, replace the poles, and do you kind of replant or do something so that there's not a lot of, you know, scarring after the job?
Really minimal impact. We're going to use anything existing. Our environmental guy couldn't make it tonight, but he sent me some notes. Maybe just read a few high points out of here.
Sure.
So he sent me this note. He said, Rocky Mountain Power is aware and sensitive to the needs and wishes of the community, both in maintaining aesthetics, but also in being a responsible environmental steward. Construction through Midway will be done under Stormwater Pollution Prevention Plan, which is SWPPP. They'll be inspected to ensure that BMPs are being maintained and working properly. Dust control, track out, housekeeping will be monitored and adjusted according to the weather and site conditions. All project vehicles will be brought on site clean and weed free. When a crew moves, all vehicles will be washed to prevent the spread of noxious weeds. Any disturbance caused by access to pole upgrades, including roads and pad sites, will be conducted in a manner to minimize disturbance and visibility. Any gates or obstructions previously placed to prevent public access will be restored to pre-project conditions. In areas that require specific attention due to sensitive soils, pre-existing conditions, or conditions brought on by weather or other conditions, construction can utilize specific protection measures, which is not limited to rubber, tire vehicles, matting, cribbing and bridging of crossover waters, lines, linear features, adjusting or staggering to avoid spans that have sensitive areas. It's this part, though. It's important to have access along the right-of-way for safety, maintenance, and to be able to respond to rare emergencies. It's important to us to leave the row stabilized to prevent erosion. Any disturbances that leaves unstabilized soil will be reseeded and, if needed, graded back to stable condition. All poles that are being replaced will be removed from the right-of-way, including hardware,